town while I pack up the stall.
Ahulen was the market town for a wide, sprawling countryside, and the market day didn't end at sunset. Instead, torches flared at every booth and stall, and light blared forth from the open doorways of the inns. Even the temples put out coloured lamps to attract nocturnal worshippers. Hilda moved through the crowd like a slim snake through dry grass, her entire stall and stock reduced to a surprisingly small bundle on her back, and her jewellery rattling like a sackful of flamenco dancers. Granny stumped along behind her, her feet aching from the unaccustomed prodding of the cobbles. And Esk got lost. It took some effort, but she managed it. It involved ducking between two stalls and then scurrying down a side alley. Granny had warned her at length about the unspeakable things that lurked in cities, which showed that the old woman was lacking in a complete understanding of headology, since Esk was now determined to see one or two of them for herself. In fact, since Ahulen was quite barbaric and uncivilized, the only things that went on after dark to any degree were a little thievery, some amateurish trading in the courts of lust, and drinking until you fell over or started singing, or both. According to the standard poetic instructions, one should move through a fair like a white swan at evening moves o'er the bay. But because of certain practical difficulties, Esk settled for moving through the crowds like a small dodgem car, bumping from body to body with the tip of the staff waving a yard above her head. It caused some heads to turn, and not only because it had hit them. Wizards occasionally passed through the town, and it was the first time anyone had seen one, 4 feet tall, with long hair. Anyone watching closely would have noticed strange things happening as she passed by. There was, for example, the man with 3 upturned cups, who was inviting a small crowd to explore with him the exciting world of chance and probability as it related to the position of a small dried pea. He was vaguely aware of a small figure watching him solemnly for a few moments. And then a sack full of peas cascaded out of every cup he picked up. Within seconds he was knee-deep in legumes. He was a lot deeper in trouble. He suddenly owed everyone a lot of money. There was a small and wretched monkey that for years had shuffled vaguely at the end of a chain while its owner played something dreadful on a pipe organ. It suddenly turned, narrowed its little red eyes, bit its keeper sharply in the leg, snapped its chain, and headed away over the rooftops with the knight taking in a tin cup. History is silent about what they were spent on. A box full of marzipan ducks on a nearby stall came to life and whirred past the stallholder to land, quacking happily in the river, where by dawn they had all melted. That's natural selection for you. The stall itself sidled off down an alley and was never seen again. Esk, in fact, moved through the fair more like an arsonist moves through a hayfield or a neutron bounces through a reactor, poets notwithstanding, and the hypothetical watcher could have detected her random passage by tracing the outbreaks of hysteria and violence. But, like all good catalysts, she wasn't actually involved in the processes she initiated, and by the time all the non-hypothetical potential watchers took their eyes off them, she had been buffeted somewhere else. She was also beginning to tire. While Granny Weatherwax approved of night on general principles, she certainly didn't hold with promiscuous candlelight. If she had any reading to do after dark, she generally persuaded the owl to come and sit on the back of her chair and read through its eyes. So Esk expected to go to bed around sunset, and that was long past. There was a doorway ahead of her that looked friendly. Cheerful sounds were sliding out on the yellow light and pooling on the cobbles. With the staff still radiating random magic like a demon lighthouse, she headed for it, weary but determined. The landlord of the Fiddler's Riddle considered himself to be a man of the world, and this was right, because he was too stupid to be really cruel and too lazy to be really mean. And although his body had been around quite a lot, his mind had never gone further than the inside of his own head. He wasn't used to being addressed by sticks, especially when they spoke in a small piping voice and asked for goat's milk. Cautiously, aware that everyone in the inn was looking at him,